song for the broken hearted.
Out there, a lot of gaggers. Another week on tap here, Lollygagging Sports. I am Bo Reed, along with Samantha Button and Matthew Irby. Samantha, I'm not talking about, you know, heartbreaks in the sense of, you know, the heart. Well, I don't know. It is baseball. Oh, there's some hearts being broken. Let's just put it that way. In this last 2.5 weeks of the season, we're winding it down. But before we get into all that, let me check in on my fellow pennant race warriors. Samantha, how you doing?
I'm good. I always enjoy a little late stage Bon Jovi. So I also love when artists refer to their own previous work and their lyrics. And we do get a Tommy and Gina nod in that song.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great song. Irby, how about you?
Great. You know, I'm above water. The wife got back from vacation. I did not kill the boys. They are alive. I told her that was the one thing I could guarantee her. So they are alive and they made it.
Do you need a vacation to recover from your wife's vacation?
Bro, I have slept so much the last couple of days. It's awesome. It is like, and I had to because we got a cross country meet tomorrow morning. I got to be up at 4:30. I have to be up at 4:30. He has to be there at 5. So, yeah.
I bet that's a fun conversation when you're getting your PTO approved, right? You're like, look, I need a couple of days of sleep after she gets back from her vacation. So, I'm gonna book some time.
You know what? I will say I have a pretty chill boss that is totally understanding and perfectly fine with those two and doesn't charge PTO. He is awesome. So
nice. Okay.
It is wonderful.
All right. Well, we're gonna talk some baseball. We're gonna talk have a little trivia. We're gonna talk some college football. But first, as always, Samantha, we have rapid fire. Are you ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready. Are you guys ready?
That's debatable. Sure.
Are you all ready at home? These guys are going to get 10 questions. They don't get any time to think about it. They don't get to explain themselves. They will have the opportunity at the end of all of this to explain one of their answers. Some of these have right answers. Some of them do not. We will start with a little NFL and then move on to baseball. So let us begin with this. Joe Burrow has been diagnosed with dorsiflexion, hypertension to the hallux metatarsal phalangeal joint. Matthew Irby, what is the layman's term for that injury?
Turf toe.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding. So surgery, 3 months recovery, obviously a little bit unusual for a quarterback to get this injury. Bo, is this, are the Bengals cooked? Like, is that it? Like, are they just out? Is there any hope for the Bengals to stay in the hunt?
I don't think so. If it was like 2 months, maybe three. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't give them much of a shot here. I think the real concern is Burrow cursed. That's the real concern.
Yeah. Well, and have the Bengals failed Burrow because they weren't that good to begin with, and the only reason they were good is because of Joe Burrow. And well, Irby, what about you? What do you think?
This might be necessary. Like, you're cooked without him, absolutely. And that might be okay. You might need that.
Yeah, it might be a good opportunity to realize you need to fire some people, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So,
another team not having a great time right now, the Chiefs. 0-2 start. Where are you at on the panic scale?
I'm going to say about moderate. I'm not all the way there, but there's concern.
So you're at like a 5?
Yeah, I'd say a 5. Out of 10, I'd say 5 or 6, yeah.
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 Okay. Irby, what about you?
It's so funny that the Bengals are 2-0 and we're thinking they're cooked.
I know.
0-2. I know. because of that division, y'all are fine. You're fine. Keep telling yourself that, though.
I think in terms of general, like, are they going to make the playoffs? Yes, they will be fine. And there are, of course, 3 teams in NFL history who have started 0-2 and then gone on to win a Super Bowl. So it is certainly not impossible. But I don't know if anybody thought this was a Super Bowl caliber team coming into this season. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm only a 5, maybe a 6. Okay, more people not doing well. We're going to continue with this, actually, for a while. So we retreated to our first trash bowl last weekend. Patriots Dolphins. Really trash ball at its finest, meaning that it was terrible, but also like wildly entertaining. So, you know, my chaos goblin soul was very happy to see this. But like the Patriots, man, I don't know. Are you a little worried?
I think maybe we should temper some of those expectations that we had before the season started. Yes.
Yeah. Obi?
Yes. I hopefully the when they play again, it's just as bad. It'll be in Boston, so hopefully, or Foxborough, so hopefully it's snowing. Is it that late in the season? It'd be great. Trash bowl in the snow would be amazing.
That would be amazing. I hope we get that. We deserve that. We deserve a little treat, and I hope that we get that. So who is not the Patriots? Dolphins probably in play for this, though. Who is actually the worst team in the NFL? Because we all thought it was going to be New Orleans, but they're definitely not the worst team.
No.
So who is it?
Yeah, it's really hard not to say Miami right now, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
And yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily the talent or if it's a combination of the talent and the coaching. But so, everything's wrong.
Yeah, I think it's both. Irby, what about you?
It's a tough because there's two answers for me. One is because of expectations. So I guess I have to come back to that.
Okay, but we're not asking about disappointing team. We're asking who is the worst.
Just the worst. Flat out the worst. It's still Tennessee then for me until they
Tennessee.
Show something.
Ooh.
Interesting. Okay. I was kind of debating between Miami and Carolina, but Tennessee is an interesting answer as well. So we can come back to that if you want to. Okay. You guys, what's going on with kickers? Because people are making like 64 yarders and they're also missing extra points. What's going on here?
I think the easy answer is 64 yards generates more adrenaline than an extra point.
It almost has to be, right? Like, it's too easy, so you psych yourself out. It's like the short putt in golf, right? Where, you land a beautiful drive, but, like, you can't make the three-foot putt. I'm, like, talking about this like I know how to golf, and I don't. But,
you just described my golf game perfectly.
Arby. What do you think is wrong with kickers, other than the obvious?
Yeah, we've joked about it before, but it is true. Kickers are the closers of baseball. You put a closer in a tie game, he doesn't know what to do. You put the closer in a game with 5-run lead, he gives up runs.
Or you may ask the closer to cover first base, and like, my God, is this a mound portal situation?
Ooh.
Is there a mound portal in football relating to
okay. You know
something
what?
To ponder.
Can you imagine this conversation if we still had those stadiums that were both baseball and football like Oakland was?
Exactly what I'm thinking. Like, is there a mound buried under there somewhere? Like, you know, when you build on an Indian burial ground? Like, did you build on top of a mound? Okay. We will do some more witchcraft related things in a moment. But let's switch over to baseball. Boston kind of entered the chat for the third wild card kerfuffle because they are dropping like a stone. So they're now a half back of Houston, and they've got Cleveland right on their heels and Texas right behind them. So, like, what do we think? Are they now in play? Like, do we have two wild card spots in play in the American League when we previously thought there was only one?
You know, I'm going to say it. Yeah, I think two are in play.
Yeah, I agree. It's way too close, and they look bad. Irby?
Absolutely, especially considering what they got last week of the season at Toronto and then hosting the Tigers.
Yeah, it's ugly. I think it's the ugliest last week of anybody who's still on the docket. Okay, back to witchcraft. It's weirdly frequently happens on this particular show, despite it being a show about sports. Mariners fans hired an Etsy witch, It appears to be working. So, I mean, would you hire an Etsy witch to help your team? Are you planning to hire? Are you going to do it tomorrow?
I would absolutely hire an Etsy witch. I think my question here is, did the Etsy witch cost $54? Because if it cost $54, that would just be the best.
I wonder if, you know, I don't know what the going rate is for an Etsy witch. So I don't know if it would be 54 or 540, like, or 5,000.
Ooh, yeah, add the zeros.
I don't know how that works, you know, because I'm just not sure what the, like, hourly rate is or the season rate or whatever. Why don't I know this? I should know this. Anyway, something we might need to look into. Arby, what about you? Are you thinking about hiring an Etsy witch?
I would. I mean, this is the most baseball thing ever. You do what you've got to do. 2 years ago, what our Rangers were listening to Creed.
Yeah.
You do what you have to do. Here it is. If you've got to hire a witch, just like when you guys lose in the first round of the playoffs, you have to go burn this witch at the stake. I mean, this is what you have to do.
Well, yeah. I mean, That's true. There is a natural progression that this may go very badly, particularly when you have tied yourself to the Mariners. So perhaps something that the Etsy witch should have considered before taking this job. But yes, absolutely. As somebody who frequently dabbles in baseball witchcraft, I guess my only problem is that I always say that I'm the one who needs to do the witchcraft. But, like, so far I have not been successful in my efforts. Or maybe I have. It's hard to say. But I would be okay with hiring, I almost said licensed professionals. And I'm like, how do you license a witch? So unlicensed professional. But yeah, I mean, God bless the Etsy witch. She's really working hard out there. Okay. So did you guys see the Ken Rosenthal video where he, like, basically steamrolled a Brewers photographer while trying to get a segment and then acted like, I mean, where are we at on this? Is this just another, like, the talent's gonna talent? Like, it's, I mean, if you're, I will go, like, a little inside baseball here, and I will tell you that this is one of the least surprising things that I have ever seen based on some of the talent that I have worked with. But, like, I mean, this is, like, a bad look, right? Like, you could have made this so funny, like, where you turn around and you apologize, or at least be polite, like, right?
Like, what is going on with Rosenthal lately? Like, he's been very aggressive. Like, this is.
Do you think it's because he's, like, 2 feet tall?
Well, wouldn't he have been aggressive this whole time? That maybe he has been, and we just haven't heard about it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I think a lot of times you don't know, like, people are, and I would be the first person to tell you this, that people are very different people when the camera is off. Some of them. Some of them are lovely people on camera, off camera. Some of them are not. I don't know Ken Rosenthal personally, but this didn't do great things for who I assume he is. But you're right. I mean, he's getting a little bit aggressive, and he has always been short. I mean, I don't know that that's, like, I mean, is it suddenly bothering him? Did he shrink a little? Did an Etsy witch get him, shrink him by a half an inch, so he's feeling particularly testy right now? I don't know.
Or did he go to an Etsy witch to get taller, and it didn't work?
Oh, or it backfired.
Yeah.
And it shrunk it.
Yeah.
Like, Well, they do say all magic has a cost, right? So maybe he wished for something else and it made him shorter as a consequence. Like, I don't know. Irby, what do you think? Do you want to push Ken Rosenthal?
Yes, to see what he's adding. But now I do truly believe that the Mariners, when they approach the witch, get the wins that I require Ken Rosenthal's soul in the Mariners. Okay. Sounds good.
Oh, interesting. Everything is connected. Okay. I'll buy it. Who do you think, and I'm looking for an individual here, not a team, who do you think is the most happy that the season is almost over? You can't say Anthony Rendon. That's cheating.
What was the question? I'm sorry. I missed it.
So, who do you think is the most happy that the season is almost over?
Oh, it's obviously Anthony Rendon, but I can't say that.
Oh, you can't say that.
You can't say that.
Most happy that this season is coming to an end. I would pretty much everybody in Baltimore, I would think.
No, an individual.
Okay.
Not a team. I did say, well, you didn't hear me. Yeah, an individual. We're looking for one person.
All right. Paul Skeens.
Paul Skeens. They're probably looking forward to doing some lawn care and not losing 1-0.
I think he's looking forward to like doing it with something and not have to worry about run support.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to stay also pitching. I'm going to go with Justin Verlander. This is definitely not how the season was supposed to play out.
I think he's just old and cranky and is like, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I was looking for.
Good catch, yeah, good call.
Yeah, yeah, very possible, very possible. Okay, last thing. It is Jose Ramirez's birthday today. Mm-hmm. Would you like to say anything to Jose for his birthday?
Just a big old happy birthday. If I knew him better, I'd send him a gift.
Would you send him Tim Anderson's, like, maybe little finger or something?
I mean, if I had it to give, I would.
Get an Etsy witch.
Just get a bunch of balloons.
Hang on. Do the Etsy witches give gift certificates? Can I give them an Etsy witch gift certificate?
I bet they do.
Hey, gift card?
You can give somebody like X number of sessions with an Etsy witch. Yeah. Like, you just don't want the ones that, like, you don't want, like, the Groupon, right? Remember Groupon? Oh, like, God. You know that's not the good witch.
No.
If you get that. That's, like, the bargain basement witch who doesn't know what she's doing. Like, you know, you're going to be like, I need you to curse the Astros, and it's going to, like, rebound and land on, like, Colorado or something. So, yeah. I don't think this is kind of like plastic surgery. Don't bargain shop, right? No. Like, do not bargain shop. And also don't bargain shop for Jose Ramirez's birthday gift, because Jose deserves better than that. RB, did you want to get him something?
Sure, happy birthday, some pinata of Tim Anderson, stuff like that. But you got distracted with the rebound curse on the Rockies. You know, they're negative 398 runs, so there's some truth to this.
Yeah, so I mean, like, maybe somebody else hired an Etsy witch and isn't saying so because they bought the cheap one and it landed on someone else.
Yeah.
Also, do you think it was the Diamondbacks? Do you think it was Jordan Montgomery?
Very possible.
Trying to aim it at the Diamondbacks. all right. Well, yeah. Don't hire the sale Etsy witch. Okay, is there anything you would like to come back to? Do you want to talk about the Etsy witch some more? Do you want to talk about something else?
I mean, I've got one thing on the Etsy witch. Like, can we all get together as collective baseball fans and be able to get, like, the top of the top witch? Like, what is, like, the head witch? What are they called?
Oh, yeah, the head witch.
Yeah.
No, what is the head witch? Is that, I mean... yeah, the coven leader.
The coven, yeah, like the coven leader.
Could be the leader of one coven, but okay. Yeah.
Whatever,
like,
they're called.
High witch, yeah. Maybe the high witch.
The high witch, okay. Whatever they're called, let's all get together, all 29 teams get together. You know, it's all left one out, and we're just going to put one hell of a curse on the Astros.
Don't you want to put it on somebody who's more likely to beat all of us in the playoffs, or do you just want to curse the Astros, like, for fun? I don't even know if you need, like, the high witch for that. You might just need, like, the...
She'll do it pro bono.
Yeah, like... You might just need a competent one for that. But yeah, but I'm not opposed to it. You know. I'm not against this.
Or get a voodoo priestess. We can do that, too. That might be more fun.
See, the problem is like... I feel like I don't know enough about voodoo, like, to judge... You know? So it's like, I feel like I would have a better chance with a witch of knowing whether the person knew what they were doing. But I don't know. Maybe you get one of each. You could spread it around a little. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean. But I also know that I think this is kind of like ghosts. Like, you know how they tell you, like, if you're looking to do something with ghosts, like, you need to observe the tradition that would be sort of your and the ghost's traditions, right? Or, like, the ghost isn't going to respond because, like, it has to be something you believe in, but it also has to be something the ghost would react to. So, like, I don't know. If you have somebody who comes from a culture where voodoo would be sort of the version of witchcraft that would work there, do you then, in fact, need voodoo to make it work? I don't know.
It's
hard to say. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Maybe we should just hire one of each just to be safe.
Okay. As long as they don't cancel each other out.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that to consider. I don't know. Maybe they can coordinate.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Irby, what about you? What do you want to come back to?
I was going to come back to the Titans. Worst team, yes, just because of where you're at. But it's different with these guys because they're not supposed to be doing much this year. This is a rebuild. This is a full-blown rebuild. So because of that, really, with what you have and what you could be doing and stuff like that, I think now I want to change my answer. And the worst team is still the Chicago Bears.
Okay, I was curious. When you referred to expectations earlier, I would like to know who you meant there. Because
the Bears.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I was going to say, that's a different question. And if that was the question, I would have answered the Bears. And so I was wondering if that was your answer as well. So, the Caleb Williams thing, I mean, this is really becoming a problem, right? Is he uncoachable or is the organization failing the person and calling him, implying that he's uncoachable?
I add in the culture in the clubhouse, and the answer is D, all of the above.
All of the above. Yeah, yeah, I agree. All right, well, yeah, something to watch. but I'm with you. I think that is the most disappointing. All right, anything else before we move on?
Nothing from me.
I'm good.
All right. Well, now we're going to talk about two baseball teams who absolutely need an Etsy dish, and that is the Tigers and the Mets. Both in the throes of total collapse. Now, the Mets have rebounded a little bit for like a day, right? But I don't know if we can trust this. And both of these teams are still in playoff position. I think that's important to note. And they may very well both stay there. But the free fall has been fairly epic. So let's start with the Mets, because I think this is sort of the briefer conversation. So the Mets lost a whole crap ton of games in a row. But they kind of righted the ship, sort of. I think it's more that the people behind them have failed to capitalize on this, because coming into this, we're recording this on Wednesday night, and as of this recording, they are 2 games up on Arizona, 2.5 up on Cincinnati and San Francisco. I mean, Arizona, that's a whole nother conversation, right? Like, these guys, like, were bad, and they traded everyone who was good, and now they're better. Like, that makes no sense. But let's begin with the Mets. So, where are you guys at on them? I mean, are these guys just going to completely crash out and put themselves out of the postseason? Are they going to hang around but not really be able to get anywhere in the postseason? Or are they going to be okay? So what do you think is going to happen to them? And why do you think this happened?
Yeah, I really have no idea why it happened. Right? I will say this, I think that they do, like you mentioned, they do seem to kind of stabilize themselves, which I think is different than the last Mets collapse, where they just never got it together towards the end at all in that last few weeks of the season. So maybe they put it together in time to salvage that wild card spot. But they just, I mean, they forgot to pitch. And when they did pitch, they didn't get the hitting. I mean, it was just like whatever. It's kind of like my golf game. Couldn't put it together. One thing would go right, everything else went wrong for an extended period of time.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's sometimes the answer to something like this is like the Mets are Metsing, you know, and that's enough as to the why. I also think that, you know, the decision to send all these rookies out there to start has maybe not been a great one. You can kind of understand why maybe you do it with one person. I don't know that the decision-making there was wonderful, and I wonder if they're going to adjust, because right now, I mean, who's pitching your playoff games if you even get there? I think you have a lot of questions about
that. That's a good question, yeah.
But I think you're right. It's like, it's not looking like the epic, you know, the infamous Mets crash of what year was that? 2014? I don't know. I don't even remember. But it's not looking like that. But they could still put themselves out. So I don't know. Irby, what are your thoughts on what that's in?
Because of what's chasing them, Arizona's got, they still have to play the Phillies, Dodgers, and Padres to wrap up the season. So that's a hell of a climb. Cincinnati's got a bunch of divisional games, so it's possible. I think the Mets do pull this off and do make the postseason. He righted the ship a little bit. You know, as we're recording now, you're losing the Padres, but whatever. you found ways to win games. You're going to end up winning that series. So, I think they correct the ship enough to get themselves in the postseason. But when you ask this question, you ask that, and then you finished it by saying, are they going to be okay? And the answer is an astounding no. No. This ends poorly. The Phillies and the Brewers have the best records. So Mets, yeah, you're going to back your way into the postseason, and you're going to go play the Dodgers. Good luck.
Yeah, I think it's bad. By the way, I love the way you phrased it, because of what's chasing them, because then I pictured the Mets, like, running through the woods and, like, thinking there was, like, a pack of vampires on their tail, and it was really, like, one little baby werewolf, just a baby.
A diamondback snake and a man in red stockings.
But a teeny one. A teeny one. A teeny man in red stockings. All right, let's look at the Tigers. This one is maybe a little bit more intriguing, maybe. So the Tigers coming into play tonight were 5.5 ahead of Cleveland, which sounds like a pretty healthy lead, except for that coming in tonight, they also had 5 games remaining on the schedule against Cleveland. They lost to them last night. They are losing right now as of this recording, which does not mean anything. Baseball gods don't come for me, but it's bad. This team had a 16-game lead at one point, and since the break, they have a worse record than the Chicago White Sox. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games. Cleveland is 9-1. They got to go head-to-head with these guys 5 times, which means they only need to lose one other game where Cleveland wins to be cooked for the division. I mean, first of all, is that the most horrifying collapse you've ever heard? If it does happen, 16-game lead, and you blow it. And also, like, what do you think the chances are that it'll happen?
Absolutely the biggest that I can think of. I still can't. Memory does not serve more. I mean, remember like how it was like when we were growing up, like we were coming up, like a 10-game lead was considered it. Once you got to 10 out, you were cooked, you were toast. And now, now it seems like that's just the beginning. You know, I don't think that rule applies anymore. But no, look, if I'm a fan of Detroit, I'm very concerned about this. Because, and you know, I brought this up when they really first started scuffling hard a couple of months ago going into the All-Star break. It's like, you know, baseball players, baseball teams perform better with consistency. And when you're running out 5,000 different lineups and you're pinch hitting in the third inning because your little book says you should do so, well, it's just not going to create a culture of consistency amongst your team, so you should be surprised if you're consistent on the or inconsistent on the field. So I think that's a big piece of this. And how healthy is Skubal, really? How healthy is he? I mean, that was – he comes out of the game over the weekend. He comes out of the game early. He's hurting. He's got something going on in his rib cage. How many times have we seen the rib cage cause a problem that lasts 2 months? Yeah.
I have a concern for Skubal with that injury, because to me it's like, oh yeah, it doesn't sound bad, right? You don't need surgery. You might not even have to go on the IL. That doesn't mean you're going to be pitching your best.
Right.
And like your other pitchers have not been great. Your offense has essentially disappeared into the ether and your bullpen has been bad. So
how many cold weather sites are in the AL playoff picture right now?
All of them except potentially the Texas teams.
Right. Think, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, all of them.
Yeah. And they all have outdoor stadiums except for Toronto. Yeah. So yeah, you're going to be going in there with something going on muscular in the rib cage. Those things linger. They're like calf injuries, right? They linger. And he's going to have to warm up in potentially 40 degree weather. Come on. That's a problem. So
yeah,
if I'm Detroit, I'm very concerned about how they're playing. And Skubal. Like, those are two big concerns right now, and I don't know which one's worse. I really don't.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you, and I'm glad you brought up the thing again about sort of, like, what are we doing here with the consistency of this team and, you know, AJ Hinch playing, like, you know, lineup chess every night. Like, I understand that they have a problem because their offense is pretty anemic, but like to your point, I don't think that doing this helps. I mean, we've seen a ton of it even just in this series, and it smells a little desperate, You know what I mean? Uh-huh. You're just like, we're going to pinch hit everybody. We're going to play the matchup every time. And this is something that has driven Guardians fans crazy all season long with, like, the handedness matchups and stuff like that, where you're just shaking your head and going, why are you doing this, man? But, like, Detroit's got an even bigger problem with the same thing, and they're getting chased down by a team that's kind of started to figure out how to maximize matchups and to maybe not be, like, so insane with, like, your lineup juggling. It's happening at exactly the wrong time.
Yeah.
Kirby, what do you think? Can the Guardians catch the Tigers? What is wrong with them? Did I hire an Etsy witch and just not tell you and curse the Tigers and it works?
That thought crossed my mind.
That's hold on. That's the most realistic thing you've said so far. hold on. Can Cleveland catch them? Absolutely. And I want to go a little different direction, but I did want to agree to that. Y'all did a good job on that. Let's just assume for a second that Detroit does hold on, okay? Doesn't fix anything. Whether you're a wild card team, whether you're a division champ, it doesn't fix anything that's going on here. Y'all went through the Scooble injury. That's the best thing going for you. The inconsistencies of this offense. And the lack of veteran leadership. We touched on this a few months ago when we were talking about this Tigers team when they were going through one of these spells. Who in that clubhouse? Who's rallying the troops? You look at this lineup and everything. Who's there? I mean, are we all looking at Jack Flaherty going, can you help us? Like, no.
Not Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, exactly. You are two games ahead of Seattle. So now we've entered the realm of forget the playoffs go through Detroit. The playoffs are going through Toronto. Now we're getting to a point, y'all might be playing in the wild card round even if you hold on to that division, which has suddenly become a conversation. It should not be a conversation.
No, this should have been over. Like, Cleveland was playing terrible baseball for most of the end of June and half of July. Like, they should have been out of this, and you let them creep back in. It's so bad.
Yeah, no, I just don't see what's going to turn this around, what's going to rally. Can they win in this series? Best of three series, absolutely they can. Can this team make a deep run? I don't see it. But then again, this AL wild card is wide flipping open.
Yep.
Oh, well, okay.
AL playoffs. Yeah, sorry.
Not yeah. Playoffs. Well, okay. But speaking of AL wild card, okay, last thing. So is there a scenario where Cleveland boots Detroit and then Detroit still gets in as a wild card? I mean, that is in play as well.
Yeah.
That's another thing. There are a lot of, I mean, this is kind of nutty, right? Because even the teams that we know are locks for the playoffs don't seem like locks to be able to take care of the teams that are not in, especially a three-game series. And we have, like, so many people in the mix and so many things undecided. You know, we've got one division essentially wrapped up and then the Yankees sitting very comfortably in their playoff spot. And then everything else is just a giant mess. And we have, like, 10 days left. I mean, it's actually kind of awesome. So
10's your number. 10 wins separates the top 18.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's anybody's game once you get in. So
yeah, you just got to get in. And this is anybody can win this thing.
Yeah. Wide open.
Not you, Angels. You're officially eliminated. Sorry.
Kansas City, Tampa Bay, go home. You're done. Like, No. We're cutting it off. We're cutting it off in Texas.
Tampa's about to play Boston, so you're not done yet, Tampa.
No.
Another weekend.
Well, yeah, but you're out of the race, you know.
I know,
yeah,
but if we tell them they're still in it, maybe they'll beat Boston and help both of us out.
True. Okay, sure, why not? Sure. You're in. You're in. We believe in you.
You're crossing your fingers. You damn right I am.
But come on, man. I can only do so much. Listen, yes. Not that good of an actor. All right. Anything else on this before we move on?
No, nothing from me.
No. Okay. Buddy.
Yeah. Okay. That was good.
All right.
Well, that hands over to me. Well, let's shift a little bit. We'll come back to baseball here in a minute. Let's shift over to college football.
Ooh.
Just real quick, you know, another round of our failed rankings because we have to do that comes out. But whatever, I don't really care. We'll say the numbers. But I wanted to look at, you know, last season, with the college football playoff, the wonderful thing we have, and I'm always going to say that, having lived through the BCS era, now that we have it, we got to see teams, SMU, Indiana, Boise State, Arizona State, they all made the playoffs. Granted, they went a combined 0-4, but still they got in, they got the opportunity. That's four teams at the beginning of the year. Maybe Boise State we saw was going to make it in that top 12, but none of the others were on our radar. Mm-hmm. We weren't talking about those teams as making it. So I wanted to kind of look, and yeah, we're a long way away, but who's positioning themselves already? Who has the schedule, in the case of Indiana last year, who has the schedule that lines up that you can actually put yourself in that position again? And I'll start with the ones that I'm not really high on these teams here, so I'll let y'all comment on that, and then we'll talk about the ones a little bit higher on. And that comes out of the Big Ten and the SEC, partially just because these are two conferences where it takes so much to get out of it. Like, you have to have a lightning in a bottle schedule like Indiana got last year, where they skipped so much of the top-tier Big Ten talent. That doesn't happen this year. I know Indiana's 3-0. This weekend, or is it next week, they play Illinois, who's also 3-0 and number 9. So one of those two are going to knock each other out. But Indiana's got to play Oregon and Penn State, both on the road this year. Illinois's got to play USC and Ohio State. Those are at home. So I not huge on those two, but they are there. They're 3-0. The opportunity is there. And the SEC side, we all love the Vanderbilt. We all love watching Vandy. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of energy. Diego is just a joy to watch. They got a gauntlet coming up here soon where they play at Bama, LSU, Missouri, at Texas, Auburn, and then at Tennessee. Yeah. So touch on those three first. How are y'all feeling of any Cinderella, any dark horse there, of any hope of these guys making the top 12?
You know, I think, yeah, Samantha, I mean, it's the way this season
you
has gone.
You got some belief in one of these? Who?
The way these polls have gone, the way everything has been thrown upside down, I think it's anybody's game right now. Granted, we haven't started conference play. But sure, Vandy's got spunk.
Vandy's got a hell of a schedule to go through, though.
I know. I mean,
if you can win all those, yeah, you're in this.
Well, look, are they dark horses? Sure. Would it shock me if one of them got in there? No. It's already a weird season, man. We're already off the rails.
Great.
Samantha, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I think one of them will get in. The question is which one, and I don't think we can answer that yet.
Yeah.
Probably one of the two Big Ten teams. The Vandy schedule, I mean, like, Diego, what is this, year six? Like, year six Diego, delightful. I hope he gets his seventh year or whatever that absurdity was about. But, yeah, the schedule is bad. And the schedule's bad for the Big Ten teams, too. But, like, when they come back to this, it's like, what they're going to do, based on what we saw a year ago, is go back through the two super conferences first before they let anybody other than these, like, goofballs from the Mountain West or whatever in. They're going to go back through the super conferences. Like, they have to let the division win, and we still don't fix that. But, like, before you start taking second-tier teams in other places, it's like, I don't know, Indiana and Illinois, if you only lost two games and your losses were to Penn State and Oregon, you might get in. So that might be enough. So whichever one of them can kind of take the reins and say, like, okay, you know, we're the, what, third best, you know, fourth best team in the Big Ten. And that would put four Big Ten teams in the postseason, but I don't think that's impossible at all. So somebody's getting in.
No, that's a good point. With you, Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon are the lead horses. And that's for Illinois. If Illinois can go Indiana, take care of that, then your toughest game left is Ohio State. So what, you lose that, and you got one loss?
That's one loss. That's a play. Yeah. That's almost a lock for a Big Ten team. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, then the other side of teams, and we're going to have these, so you're going to be subjected to these. Someone's got to come out of the Big 12. They're going to have one. They're not going to get a bye this year. I'm feeling kind of confident, but who knows? Because there's a real chance of having an undefeated Big 12 team when this all settles. Iowa State is at 4-0. They have no more games against ranked opponents. Utah is 3-0. Texas Tech also 3-0. Those two play this Saturday. That's their only remaining ranked games.
This is because the conference sucks.
Yeah, I hear you. But there is a good chance. Let's run this through. Let's say Texas Tech goes into Utah and wins that game. There's a good chance that the Big 12 championship could be Iowa State and Tech, both undefeated, playing each other. You're gonna tell you the loser of that's gonna be out?
Yes. Yeah, the loser of that's absolutely out. Yeah.
But are they gonna do that?
Yes.
You have to.
Yeah, no, they will. They don't care. It's not a Big Ten or an SEC team. No, the loser of that is absolutely out. I mean, and I don't even necessarily want them out, right? Because I would love to beat up on second place. Like, yeah, give me those guys instead. Let me play them in the first round. Give me an easy one.
SMU again.
I'd love to see SMU again. That was delightful. More of that, please. But
well, and the other spot, so there's one we got to see, Georgia Tech, you know, with the, mm-hmm. the great win over Clemson this week. They don't play Miami or Florida State in the regular season, so there's a chance Georgia Tech can run that table in their conference play and get one of those guys in the ACC championship game.
Okay, zero Georgia points for beating Clemson. I have to put that out there. No.
Well, it gets crazy. You ready for this? There's going to be a rep, because remember, it's the top five conference champs. So that means somebody outside the Power Four. And last year it was Boise State. That was a little more obvious with Aston Gentry and all that they could do, even though it didn't go out so well. Another conference is going to get a team in there.
And they won't. It will be Notre Dame.
But there's the thing. Notre Dame, no, because there's five top conferences get automatic bids.
Oh, so there's a random to-be-determined later conference
in
play as opposed to just someone outside the top four? Dude, that's goofy, man. We got to fix this. This is goofy.
So I will have your attention turned to the American Conference, where there are four teams at 3-0. You ready for these guys?
The American Conference?
Real possibility. This is a real possibility of one of these four teams I'm about to say will be playing in the college football playoffs. You ready for this? Navy, Memphis, North Texas, Tulane.
Okay, maybe we should take Indiana and Illinois.
Yeah. Vanderbilt said they're looking a lot better, aren't they?
I give me a four-loss Vanderbilt team that, like, acquits itself respectably against tough opponents instead of, like, what is the American Conference? What even are you?
Yeah, that's like, my question. I didn't know that existed.
But see, that's what's going to – but where it's going to happen is that they're going to get in. None of them are going to be ranked because none of those four teams are ranked. But they will be the highest-rated conference with someone there. So they will get in. They will be that number 12 team, and it'll end up being – like the loser of the Ohio State Penn State Big Ten championship game will be the five getting to play an undefeated North Texas Mean Green.
Okay, we need another new rule. If you're not ranked, you can't go.
Also true. But there, here's the ranking.
But then again, one of
those, they'll put one of those
teams
ranked just to get them in.
Collusion. Yep. That is supposed 100%. To be an independent body. I don't like that at all.
And those four teams are all 3-0, and they're still below 0-2 Notre Dame. Let's not even get started on that.
Listen, give me 0-2 future 4-whatever Notre Dame as my first round opponent, okay? Give me that, or give me these goofballs. Maybe I don't want them out. Listen, I got a horse in this race. Like, I'm not trying to play, like, a good team in either of the first two rounds. So, like, maybe I do want the trash.
Well, but here's the great thing is this year, the big change this year is it's not the top four conference winners getting automatic bids. It's 1-4 ranks.
Right.
Regardless if you win. So you have a situation where, like, right now we're looking at Ohio State, Penn State at the top. Let's say those two just stay there all season. The loser of the Big Ten championship is not going to fall out of the top four, so you're going to get your bye.
Right. I would almost
if you happen to fall to five, would you mind posting a game against North Texas?
Well, and I mean, and that's what's so great about it if you're a Big Ten team, right? Because, like, let's say one of them does fall out of the top five, you know, either losing to Oregon or losing to the other in a manner that is more dramatic than whatever. Like, you're fine either way. Like, say whoever loses the head-to-head falls back and Oregon moves up. You're still fine. Like, it's not a bad draw no matter what. You're either getting a bye or you're getting, you know, I don't know, the Academy for Blind Pets or whatever. So it all works
out. They've got a real good quarterback this year. So, hey, long way away. We got a long way to go, but those are some names. I mean, we at this point last year, you'd have laughed at me if I'd have been saying names like SMU, Arizona State, and they made the playoffs. So that's the beauty of college football. Then now that we have this postseason, is that we get to have these conversations and see how it plays out. So it'll be fun. Good. All right, well, let's switch back to baseball. We're getting near the end of the season. So before we do it, I want to go back, and I want to put y'all through it again. Let's do another round of Benji Molina cycle trivia.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Here we go.
Hey, y'all done fine. Y'all done fine. I'm nothing but confident.
We did, but it makes us nervous. We get nervous.
Yeah, well, I'll make you even more nervous. There is an opportunity for you to pick the level of difficulty in one of your questions here a little bit. So, all right, here we go. The theme. Oh, yeah, I got to give you all a theme. The theme is real simply, he played where?
Oh, great.
Oh, no.
I'm terrible at this game.
I feel like, I don't think this bodes well for us.
No. I
got this.
I would have a
This is not our forte, either of us.
I think we'd have a better shot at naming the movies from 1948 in Time Capsule.
Okay.
All right. Well, folks at home, while you're playing, you're going to hear these questions. A single, double, home run, and a triple. Go look up Benji Molina cycle. That'll make more sense. But they get difficult, more difficult as we go. So let's do the single. Play at home, folks. Current and internationally recognized sports photographer Ken Griffey Jr. He used to be a big league ball player. Did y'all know that?
Sure.
From 1989 to 2010, Junior slugged 630 career home runs for the Mariners, the Reds, and what was the third franchise he played for?
The White Sox?
Do you know the year?
2008, maybe?
Very good! 2008 Chicago White Sox, halfway through the season, Griffey got traded from Cincinnati to Chicago and finished up the second half of the season playing 41 games for the White Sox.
Okay. And then he went back to the Mariners.
Then he went back to the Mariners to finish his career. Yeah, good job. See?
Okay. See? I got one. But that's Griffey. I mean, I knew that. Like, I thought this was going to be really worse.
For your double.
No.
All right, Reggie Jackson, Mr. October. He's well known for his accomplishments with the Athletics and the Yankees franchises, and later in his career with the California Angels. If you only knew that because he was in the Naked Gun movie, that's okay too. He had a 21-year-long career lasting from 1967 to 1987, with 20 of those years on those three aforementioned franchises. 1 year with a fourth franchise. Who was
it
and when?
I know this. I know the team. I don't know the year, but I know the team. Okay. Yeah, I do.
Bo, you got anything? Maybe the year without the team?
No, I'm definitely not going to have the year without the team. No, Samantha, go ahead.
It's the Orioles.
The Orioles.
Very good.
Yeah,
yes.
That was not going to be my answer.
Right, they, back in
they
the
do
middle
try
of-
to claim him occasionally. That's the only reason I know that.
Yeah, well, Reggie had a nice stretch of making All-Star games, and then he played for the Orioles, didn't make it, and then he had a nice long stretch of making All-Star games again. So I don't think you get to claim him when his All-Star streak break happened because of you. But yes, 1976, Baltimore Orioles.
Okay, so after the A's, but before the Yankees, or after the round one of the A's, I guess I have to say.
Round one, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so then, yo, see, what are you worried about? I got this. You're doing great. All right. Now the fun. The home run. All right. Here's where you guys get to have a little fun.
Okay.
I'm going to allow y'all to select what type of home run you're going to hit, a solo, a two-run, a three-run, or a grand slam. But know that the difficulty of the next trivia question is directly tied to the number of potential runs you're going to try and score.
What's the score? We're up to nothing, right?
I got a single and a double, yeah.
Okay, so we're... Okay, so but are we up to nothing because we got two right? Now, I need to know the score of the game before I decide how many runs, home run, I want to get.
Yeah, I guess we can look at it that way. Both runners scored. He definitely scored.
2-0?
Yeah.
Okay, so that tells me to go for the two-run home run. Bo, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Okay. I don't think we would go higher.
Okay. No, I'm looking for, like, what is the minimum amount we could get away with doing and still feel like we had a comfortable lead if we got it right. So we want the two-run home run, right?
Two-run home run. Okay.
All right.
All right. From the year 2003 to the year 2019, Edwin Jackson played for 14 different teams.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you guys know who they are?
Lord. Okay.
I know some of them.
Okay.
Far away.
So, all right. Well, let's.
Tigers.
Rays.
Diamondbacks, right?
Diamondbacks,
yeah,
correct.
Diamondbacks, Devil Rays, White Sox, Dodgers, Marlins, mm-hmm. Padres, Nationals. You said Tigers already, right?
Yeah.
He did.
Blue Jays.
Didn't he play for the Yankees?
He did not.
No, Yankees. I don't okay.
I think so. Yeah.
Blue Jays, got 10 already, guys.
Jays. Braves, maybe.
11.
Did I say Nationals?
Yeah.
You did. Yes.
Okay. Orioles, maybe? Orioles.
Okay.
Now, all right. Would you mind reading me back the ones that
yes,
I said?
Yes. No, you okay. You've got his Dodgers years in 03 to 05. He was with the Rays from 06 to 08. The Tigers in 09 and 19. Diamondbacks in 10. White Sox 10 to 11. He was with the Nationals in 12 and 17. Braves in 15, Marlins in 16, Padres in 16, Orioles in 17, A's in 18, Blue Jays in 19. So what you're missing here is the second half of 2011 and then 2013 to 2015.
Okay, I know that one. That's the Cubs.
Very good.
But I don't know the other one.
Who was he traded to in 2011? Okay, like hang on.
2011.
Is that the Cardinals? Okay,
so it's from the White Sox.
It was the Cardinals.
Yes!
There you go, Bo.
Good job. Okay.
Good job,
I had no memory of it being on the Cardinals. Okay, cool.
I don't either.
That was tough. All right.
That means you got a ring. Golly. So, good job. Two-run homer, well done. For those playing at home, have fun. Whatever you wanted to select, we'll give you time. The solo home run was guessing Rich Hill's 14 teams. The three-run homer was guessing the 13 teams that Octavio Dotel played for.
Oh, I was never getting that.
No.
Okay, I'm really glad we didn't pick that.
And if you wanted the Grand Slam, I was going to have you name me the 12 franchises that Matt Stairs played for.
I wasn't going to get that one either.
I wasn't going to get that, but I think I would have done better with that than Octavio Dotel.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, okay.
Like Benji Molina, home runs are easier than
but football. I'm glad, you know what, Bo, we handled this correctly. We
did.
We went as far as we could without getting greedy and overextending ourselves.
Yeah.
So that works. Okay. I think we handled that right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure did.
Yeah. Good job. All right. So, the triple. Finally, here we go, last one. The players that we mentioned just a second ago, Rich Hill, there's the top four players in the most teams ever played in a career. Rich Hill, 14 teams, Edwin Jackson, 14, Octavio Dotel, 13, and Matt Stairs, 12. Did you know that these four players all played one team? They all played one of our major league teams. All four of them were on it.
At the same time?
No.
Okay, so Dotel, Stairs, Rich Hill.
Edwin Jackson.
And Edwin Jackson. Okay, so
was Richel ever an A? No, I don't think
Tigers.
So.
Tigers?
Maybe.
Is that what you're going with?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember Matt Stairs on the Tigers. The other three I can picture. Okay. I'm game. Let's go Tigers.
You going with the Tigers?
I think it's the Tigers, isn't it? Yeah.
You're out at third.
Really? Who didn't play for the Tigers?
Matt Stairs.
Did play for the Tigers.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
Rich Hill didn't play for the Tigers. Is it the White Sox?
Rich Hill. No, it's... Oh, should have gone with your gut. The Athletics.
You're kidding me.
Oh, no.
I don't remember Rich Hill on the A's.
Athletic. Rich Hill in 2016 was an Athletic.
Wow.
Edwin Jackson in 2018... Octavio Dotel, 2004-05, and then Matt Stairs from 96.
See, I knew. 2000. I knew.
Yeah.
Other thing where I could remember Rich Hill there though.
You know what? We should have gone with that because the only one of those people that I can't remember being on the A's is Dotel, and he's the one I can't remember being almost anywhere other than a handful of places. So we should have gone with that.
I definitely remember Dotel being on the A's.
I don't, but I do remember Rich Hill.
I don't remember that.
We didn't pool our knowledge properly.
No, we didn't.
Hey, sometimes you're round in second, you're confident in third, but there's a good throw. But that's all right. And sorry about the mistake. It's funny. I'm looking at it, and I said the wrong name, and I'm like, no, I'm looking at it. And then when you said that, I'm like, shit, did I just mess this up? Like, no, I didn't. I thought maybe
we were about to find out that there were actually two teams. I know. My head was exploding because I was like, is there actually a second one? gosh.
But some fun little nuggets, too. All those teams that those guys played for, there was actually only one time that two of them played at the same time together. Edwin Jackson, Octavio Dotel, as part of the 2011 Cardinals. All the others, no overlap whatsoever. Interesting. And all those teams, 14 for Hill and Jackson, 13 for Dotel, 12 for Stairs, there's three franchises not involved at all with those four players. The Mariners, the Reds, and the Giants.
Huh.
So there you go. A little bit more Benji Molina nugget information that you never knew you needed.
That is fascinating. All right, so there's only three teams that didn't touch any of those four people. That is wild to me. Wow, that's crazy. Learn something interesting every time we do Benji Molina trivia.
Even the Expos got involved in this.
The Expos. Because
Matt Stairs,
right? It would have to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He started an Expo and he ended a National.
That's so weird. I mean, I understand there is a window where that could easily have happened, but it seems weird in retrospect. Wow.
But yeah, good job. Y'all did great.
Thank you. Your single,
your double, your two-run homer. You got a little greedy on your triple, but that's okay. That's a real solid game.
Did we get greedy or were we just wrong?
The coach held up the sign, and you're like, no, I'm coming to third. Like, you're not staying. It's okay.
Did we run through the stop sign, or did we just, were we just, simply too slow to the plate? I think we may have just gotten tagged out. But
that's
I don't know.
The one where you're going, and the infielder dirty got the ball, why are you still going? Okay.
Sometimes.
Nothing to be ashamed about. Well done.
All right. Well, it was better than I thought, Bo. I was very frightened coming into this, but Bo, I think we acquitted ourselves relatively well.
We did. We held our own.
Better than, considering this is absolutely not either of our area of expertise.
Not at all. No.
So, all right. I felt a little better when I heard Edwin Jackson. So I was like, oh, I see. I've been through this list so many times that I kind of have it memorized. So that made me feel a little bad. I was like, oh, I can do this one. And Griffey. Yeah, that I could do. But oh, man.
I was wondering. I was like, I wonder if they get greedy. Because Hill and Jackson, I could do those lists too.
Yeah.
Hill and Stairs, I would be like, oh, crap. I'll be guessing here in a second.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I had a pretty good list for stairs. I did not have a list for Dotel at all. And clearly I have a memory of Rich Hill that doesn't exist on the Tigers. So.
All right.
All right. Well, good job, y'all.
Yeah.
Folks at home, I hope you did as well.
All right. Well, I think it's time we finally talk, even though the last few days haven't been great. I think it's finally time we start talking about some of these young hitters that the Rangers have. Irby, I'll start with you on this one. We have guys like Freeman, Hellman, who I call Mayo for obvious reasons, Osuna, right? These guys have come up because Seager's out and has been out for a while. Simeon's been out for a while. And they seem to have injected some life into this team, right? There's no reason why they're still hanging around this race. I mean, when Seager went down, along with Eovaldi and Simeon, like, everyone just kind of threw their hands up and said, well, that's it, including me. I was one of them. Well, here they are. They're still in this wild card race. And it's because of these kids. And it makes you wonder, Adolis Garcia comes back, and all of a sudden the energy is back to what it was to start the season, flat, and they're losing again. So, I don't know what to make of this team, so let's just focus on the hitters themselves. And we can get a little bit into the wild card race in a second. But what are your thoughts here? Should they be playing these hitters over a guy like, say, Adolis Garcia because of the way it's gone the last month?
I mean, I totally understand what you're saying, why you would put him over a Garcia. Yes, because of the struggles he's had. He is such a difference maker. I understand why you're putting him back in. But, yeah, it's the Rangers are in the wild card hunt because of these youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
Berger has not been the guy. He's starting to figure it out. Peterson had one of the worst first 2 months of the season, starting to figure it out. Langford took a step back. Young took a step back.
Yep.
Josh Smith is one of the bottom 10 OPS hitters in baseball in the second half of the season. Started to figure out. So, yes, all these things that pointed to problems, Chris Young said he would do it. He said, I'm going to make changes. And so, yeah, you're doing what you have to do, given these guys. They're trying to create a career. They're trying to do something. They're not all going to be Rangers long term. Some are going to end up other places, parts of trade, what have you, all that stuff. But right now, here's the opportunity. And whatever coach helped them along with that, of here's your opportunity, take it, they've done that. And it's fun to watch. Like you said, it's injected some youth. It's injected some energy. The thing that will be interesting for me, look, Simeon and Seager, if you get to a point that they can play again this season, that you survive, you put those guys back in the lineup in a heartbeat just because of who they
are.
Sure.
No, absolutely, yeah.
But this offseason will be fascinating. Fascinating to do with guys like Garcia, who have 1 year left on a contract. Players like Simeon. Is Simeon a contract? Is that a contract that you could actually trade and keep a Cody Freeman at second base going forward? Helps out big financial. I don't know. The Rangers offseason just became incredibly fascinating because you might have the offense you need, but you have to get rid of the big contracts to use it. And that's so difficult to do, but it might be what you have to do.
Yeah, it might be. You know, it very well might be. Samantha, let's bring you in on this one. Because I know, like, you know, outside looking in, anyone that watched the 2023 playoffs – hearing me say, you know, should the kid start over Adolis Garcia is one of those mind-exploding things, right? Like, how would you say that? How could you say this is Adolis Garcia? But over the last 2 years, he has regressed badly. He swings for the fences every pitch. When the base hits all he needs, that's what those kids are not doing, which is why they started winning. The offense actually started to produce the 4 to 6 runs a game they need to win, and now we're back to where we were before this surge. So I think it's a relevant question. What about you? What do you think?
Are you asking about Garcia or just sort of like in general, does it make sense for them to be playing?
I think it's, should they be playing the kids that got them back in the race over the veteran who was on the IL for most of that surge?
Oh, I mean, yeah, because he wasn't that good before he went on the IL, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm at on that. I mean, I'm not saying, like, oh, my God, stick him on waivers. I mean, you probably should stick him on waivers, actually. But he's probably been there already. But, Like, yeah, I think it's like a, I think there are situations in baseball where it really is like a dance with the one that brung you thing. But like, I don't think that applies from season to season. Yeah. And the people who've kept you in this race right now are the ones that I think you stick with. I mean, this is a really tight race. There's way too many teams in the mix. Like, we can talk in the postseason about like how many plate appearances Adelis Garcia gets if the Rangers make it. Right. I think that's a really different conversation. Right now, it's hot hands, man. Like, you got like 10 days to sort this shit out.
Yes.
So, like, you got to go with the hot hand. And, like, because Freeman, mm-hmm. like, and Freeman was up before, right? Wasn't he? He was up and then he got sent to Round Rock and then they called him back. Is that right?
Yes.
So, but it's okay. So he seems to have figured some things out, right? And I'm not saying, like, oh, he's better than peak Adelis Garcia, but he is not competing with peak Adelis Garcia. He is competing with Mr. Nobody right now.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah. I don't know, man. Like, when you have only a few days, I think you play whoever's hot right now. I don't care who they are. I don't care how long they've been there. I'm going wherever they value loyalty the most, to quote Dwight Schrute. So, like, I don't really care. I just need wins.
Yeah, exactly. And this is, I mean, you know, they lose the finale in New York. Now they drop the first two in Houston. They're down in game three. There was an opportunity there for Texas, who's in a great. They've got the tie. Let's just talk about the tiebreakers for a second. They got the tiebreaker over Boston already. A win over Houston in Game 3 of this series gives them the tiebreaker over Houston, and Cleveland is to be decided at the end of the year. And I don't think the tiebreaker is going to be a factor there the way this is shaping up. But the tiebreaker is a big, big piece of this with Boston and Houston, and they would have it with a win tonight over Houston, and they already have it over Boston. So it's a great spot to be in. I would have stuck with the hot hand.
And remember, Cleveland would need to win all three of those games.
Right.
In order to win the tiebreaker, because Cleveland's going to win the second tiebreaker with Texas, but to get the first one, the important one. So, like, yeah, it's like if Cleveland were to sweep Texas and they ended up tied, then Cleveland's going to get it.
Right.
But if Cleveland doesn't sweep Texas and they end up tied, then Texas gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, you're in a pretty good position tiebreaker-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, man. You know, I mean, some of that is, you know, you're maybe tailoring this to, like, well, who do you want to face? Who do you want to be tied with? Like, because we're doing it, too. You know, like, I want to be tied with Houston because I own that tiebreaker. I don't want to be tied with, you know, you. Like, actually, I do want to be tied with you. I don't want to be tied with Boston because I would lose that tiebreaker.
Yeah,
but, like, so it's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You just need wins. You know what just I mean? So whoever's hot right now is just going up the field.
That's it.
Like, just win, baby.
That's
just
it.
Just win, baby.
That's it. Yeah. And I'm not going to.
Like, Al Davis it, man. Like,
you know, just win. I just, you know. I think you had to stick. I think you had to stick with the hot hands here.
Yeah,
I sit there like you know in that game they lost to the Mets. You know they get the leadoff guy on, and Adolis Garcia immediately rolls into a double play immediately and just sucked the life out of the game. And the offense has not been the same since they went back to this.
Well, so. Yes, but you look at the lineup right now. You've got that they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
Freeman is an everyday for me. Asuna's not hitting though, so that's where the problem is. I know Asuna is not a power guy. He's a slap hitter. He can find gaps, so he can do that. Mm-hmm. But that's a tough decision. Do you want a youngster who can do that, who strikes out as much as Adolis Garcia? But the flip side is Adolis, when he does connect at the right angle, he can be a game changer.
Yeah, but
and that's the problem. The funny thing about this Rangers team, though, is you couldn't hit anything the first half of the season and you had the best pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Now the starting pitchers are struggling as the offense is awoken. Like, I think that's, if this does not end with a postseason, that will be the biggest storyline for these Rangers is you couldn't put the two things together at the same time enough to be a playoff team.
Again, just like my golf game.
I have a question about Asuna, a handedness question. Like, is there a potential platoon aspect to this?
Yes.
So you want to...
Like with Garcia, you mean?
With anyone, with any of the veterans. Like, is there a way to platoon Asuna advantageously with a veteran? Yeah, I'm assuming Garcia. I'm not talking about is there a way to do that positionally?
No, that would be the one. As soon as a left-handed hitter, Garcia is on the right side. This is like Evan Carter from 2 years ago.
So he is left-handed. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So you could platoon him with Garcia.
Absolutely.
Or Hellman.
I guess that's true. Yeah, Hellman as well.
Yeah.
In that situation. Okay. To put it nicely, Asuna doesn't have a hit against a left-handed pitcher this season. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many plate appearances that is, but I hate handedness platoons, and I'm really against this. As a left-hander, I take issue with the whole, why are lefties not allowed to hit lefties, but righties are allowed to hit righties? Just feels a little handedness racist to me. I always feel like a lot of lefties aren't getting their fair shake in that regard. But, also, there are truly some left-handed hitters that can't hit left-handed pitching. So, maybe a platoon is the solution. As a person who hates platoons, again, I don't care. You just need wins, right? We will save the philosophy for later.
Platoons get you wins. Then we're platooning.
What you gotta do? Bunt every freaking at bat. You can platoon everything. I do not care. You guys are in the same situation as we are. I just need wins. I don't care how they come.
I don't care who the hero is. Just somebody do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Anything else on this one? Before I, get myself into further trouble with diehard Adolis Garcia fans.
Are there some of those?
I don't know, man. That popularity has got to have gone down a lot.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about. I was like, did he have a strong enough support?
Yeah, I think they come back out in October again. So
he will for the future of the franchise. The worst thing that could happen is another big Adolis Garcia October, because then they're going to have to keep him.
No. If they make October, he has a big October. I guarantee you, this man gets a 6-year, $170 million deal from the Angels.
You know what? That's fine.
That would be hilarious. Actually, that would be kind of on point.
Mike Trout's sitting there going, why are we still doing this?
Samantha, how you always say, don't charade with us, especially if it involves a pitcher?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't do that with us with outfielders. just don't do it. We know when to let him go. No, I'm just saying in general, the Angels signed Josh Hamilton when we didn't want him back for a reason.
But those aren't trades, though.
True.
You're not getting anything back.
Okay. For that. Trust us when we let go of an outfielder. How's that?
I don't want. I do trust you. I don't, and also I don't want him.
I don't want your outfielder.
All right. Anything else on this before we move on?
I'm good.
No? Okay. All right. One last thing before we go. I think it's time to assign another president to a baseball team. So for this one, I'm going to take you guys back to the election of 1948. You guys know this election off the top of your head? Everybody paying that close attention in American history? No? Okay.
I know who won. And it,
so, 1948?
Yes.
It's Truman.
Yeah.
It's Truman, yeah. So
this is an easy one. Yeah.
1948, Truman's popularity going into the election was quite low. He had an approval rating of 39% and a disapproval rating of 47%, which should be fatal. In fact, it was so bad that paper in Chicago printed Dewey defeats Truman, and Truman had a lot of laughs the next day because he overwhelmingly beat Dewey that year. So the expectation was that he was going to get slaughtered, and he ended up slaughtering his opponent with 303 electoral votes. It is tallied to 189 for one Thomas E. Dewey. So I would say he exceeded expectations. Let's fast forward to this year. Don't you think that reminds me, it certainly reminds me a little bit of those Milwaukee Brewers. No one really expected them to do anything, and they got the best record in the National League. For now, it's only a game over Philly. But similar shock value, at least in my opinion. What do you guys think?
I mean, does that mean the are you implying that the Cubs are Dewey? Is that how that works? No.
I don't think so. I'm just going for the shock value of exceeding expectations at that level.
Who is Dewey? Oh, is Craig Counsell Dewey?
I could buy that, yeah. Craig Counsell's Dewey.
Listen, there's like another way that this makes sense too, which is that like Truman was like a little bit of a weirdo, which you find out especially later.
True.
He was a little bit of a weirdo, you know. Like, by the way, book recommendation, if you haven't read it, Harry Truman's Excellent Adventure, about the basically this giant road trip that Harry and his wife took. Fantastic. Really fun. Really quick read. Highly recommend. I don't want to go on a road trip with the Brewers, but like, I'm just saying, it got weird, right? Like, that's the kind of makes sense with the Brewer stuff. Like, so I would just, like, I want to add that.
Okay. I did
because,
that.
Yeah. Like, shocking. Like, and we're using the presidential win to mirror the division title, right? Not like a in the future World Series.
Yes.
Like, I got news for you. I don't think the Brewers are winning the World
Series.
Yeah,
no, but, no.
Okay, then, yeah, I think, so we're talking about the division. So then, yeah, no, I think this works. This makes sense to me. Yeah, no, I'll buy it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely just talking about regular season performance, not postseason. That is a whole different
thing. Okay, so, but yeah, so Dewey is Craig Counsell? Oh, is Dewey that restaurant that Craig Counsell couldn't remember? The steak store or whatever it was. No, maybe Dewey is Red. No, I just don't know. I don't know. I got to think about this. Who did they trade away? Oh, no. It's Aaron Civale.
Ooh.
It's Aaron Civale. They got rid of him because he said he wouldn't go to the bullpen, and then they went on a tear. If he's Aaron Civale. I feel bad about that, though. I don't like that.
And Civale definitely did not.
No, he did not. Yeah, no, he's Dewey. I've seen enough.
Yeah.
He's Dewey. And I feel bad about that because I love Aaron Civale very much. This is not, I'm not happy about this, but I think that it might be true. but no, that's good, Bo. I agree.
Okay.
It makes a lot of sense.
All right, Irby. Anything on this before we call it a week?
No, that was a good one. Like, I took me a minute to get there, but well done. Good assignment.
No joke, I was sitting there just on the couch playing Assassin's Creed, and it hit me that the Brewers were Harry Truman. That's literally how this happened. It's like, wait a minute, that could work. Because see, this is what I do. I have random thoughts while I'm assassinating fake characters in a video game.
I don't play video games, but I mean, I do have a lot of random weird thoughts. I think that's sort of how this podcast comes together. It's, you know,
it kind of is.
so I do feel that.
All right. Well, wherever you're listening to Lollygagging Sports, give us a like, subscribe to the show, help us out with that algorithm so we can get some more lollygaggers in here. But for this week, we're done. We're out of here. Until next week, watch some baseball. It's playoff time. Almost. Pennant race time. That's better.